2 Kings chapter number 7, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. I have a strange title and possibly a strange sermon, but you'll understand as we get into it. But I want to preach tonight on four leopards and quality living. Four leopards and quality living. Let's notice in verse 1, the Bible said, "Then Elijah said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we will die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." The city's encamped about by the enemy, hadn't had any food brought in. It's a bad situation. "And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord," capital L, "had made the host of the Syrians to hear a voice of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat." Who else is eating at this time? Talk about quality living. "And drink. And carried thence silver and gold and raiment. Went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it." Poor old lepers. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will become upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Verse number 16. "And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate. And he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria." There's a lot of talk in society about quality living. It seems as though that this world has its scale as to what is real quality life. If you listen to the government talk, they think that quality living is living above the poverty level. If you never get above that, you're really living. Others would think that quality living is being able to own your own house, your car, a few possessions, maybe a boat, or so on. And then still, there are those that think that quality living has to do with health, mentally and physically, what kind of shape that you're in. But it would seem as though that my thought tonight and this scripture would contradict that. That the truth of the matter is, real quality living has nothing to do with possessions. It has nothing to do with the earthly things. Real quality living really doesn't even have anything to do with how healthy you are. It goes beyond that. You know, when you study the days before the war in Germany, Hitler, he enforced what was called euthanasia. And going to the mental institutions, they would kill those that were not of quality living and they didn't feel like they were profitable for society. Children that were born unhealthy, they supposed they would have them. And the elderly, that the state didn't want to have to expend their monies for them, so they would dispose of them. And for you and I getting old, this old government's coming to that point of view before long. You mark it down. It ain't only the babies they're going to want to get rid of. It's going to be the old timers. And the excuse is, well, you just can't. You ain't got no quality life anyhow. You're not really living. Heard about two boys that worked for the funeral home, and they dug this old grave, and they brought this rich man in. They buried him in his Cadillac with a cigar in his mouth. One of them old boys stood back and looked at him and said, "Man, that's real living, ain't it?" Well, I guess it's according to what you think quality living really is. You see, a man may not have sight, and you may feel sorry for him, but he may put twice the premium on hearing than you do. He may enjoy his hearing a whole lot better than you do, and vice versa. It seems as though in this text that these four lepers, and of course, leprosy in the Word of God was a dreaded disease of which the flesh would literally rot and fall off from the bones. It was a serious condition that they were in. But yet, it seems to me, of all the people in these texts outside of Elisha, that the only ones that are really living in this text is these four boys. They may have leprosy, but honey, they're squeezing the juice out of life. Now they're getting something out of life. They sort of enjoying life. They seem to me to have a far higher level of quality living than everybody else does. Because it seems as though that the city's given up to die. Even the man on whom the king leans for advice, he's already said it's over. Everybody seems to think that it's time just to roll over and play dead. except for these four boys. And it seems as though that in the midst of this circumstance, being surrounded by the enemy, famine on the inside, and a disease on their body, that they have decided that they're going to live as long as they can. Four lepers and quality living. Now let me suggest to you just three things about what real living is. Do you want to know what real living is? First of all, I want to suggest to you from the text that I've read to you that quality living is living in the realm of divine possibilities. Now, everything, I grant you, looks bad. And I would go as far as to say it is bad. But yet, in verse number 1, the man of God said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Here's what's going to happen. This is what's going to come to pass. By this time tomorrow, we're basically going to be feasting around here. And sitting on the outside now, because they have been, of course, excommunicated, they have been isolated, they have been separated, as was the law for the leper. They've been put away from the communal, from the city, from the citizens. They are on the outside, and rightfully so, with the disease that they've got. But while they're on the outside, they begin to speak to themselves or among themselves. And they said, "You know, we only got two or three choices here. We can go in the city, but they all dead in there. We can sit right here and won't be long before we'll be dead. Or said, we can get up and we can go down there to the Syrians and we can see what's going to happen down there." But little did they know that God Almighty had already been working down there among the Syrians and had already scared them folks to death and run them off. They wasn't having no quality living, I'll guarantee you that, as they hightailed it out of the country. So quickly they left that they left everything as it was, the Bible said. Getting out of town. And why did they do so? Because God Almighty had said, "I'm going to fix this situation. And by this time tomorrow, it's going to be all changed around. There won't be this famine in the city." And so God was working. God was working. But nobody else was getting involved in what God was doing, except these four lepers got into it. Can I say to you tonight, I really don't know what predicaments or conditions or situations that we might find ourselves in, but I'm reminded in the book of Esther where Mordecai said to her, "Who knows but what God has brought you to such a time as this?" Who knows what God's doing while you're where you're at? God is working. It is evident in the text. He is setting things up. But the only ones that are getting in on it are the four lepers. They're enjoying the divine possibilities of God. I'm glad that I can do that, aren't you? The thing that keeps me going is not so much what I see, but it's what I do not see. And that is the unseen hand of God working on my behalf. Realizing that God has all of these things in hand. And the Lord is able to work in an instant, and He is able to work on our behalf. And so much life is breathed in us, no matter what our condition, if we can rest in the fact that God is in charge. The possibilities out there. The possibilities out there. Not according to the human eye, but God. Means that there's possibilities in there because of God. And if there's possibilities out there and in there, there could be some possibilities right here because of the possibilities that all come from up there. God is making things possible in His work on our behalf. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The people that I find in this world that seem to have the most life about them, and that's what I call quality living, is what's on the inside. Yes, are not the people that are driving the more fancy cars and living in the biggest houses and having the biggest bank accounts. But it's the people who are living with the realization that God Almighty is in charge of every day. And He can provide where there are no provisions. And isn't it amazing how He does so? 4 lepers. But they somehow plug in to what God's doing. I'm not worried about this election coming up. I don't see nobody out there that's worth voting for. And I don't want to get political. Because I don't think there's a human that can change the course that we're set on. But I ain't sad and despondent about it, and I ain't losing no sleep. Because I know the possibilities of God on our behalf. I say to you simply that this matter of quality living is in the realm of divine possibilities. Who knows what God can do about that circumstance, about that situation, that condition. I promise you this much, He's working. An old fellow I used to visit, ran into him in the mountains. He's 80 years old. Brother Carpenter, oh, how he radiated with the presence of God. And he had come to the place to where he was about blind when I met him. And health-wise, he couldn't do anything. He would sit in his recliner. But he just filled with the Lord. He had a freshness about it. And he'd pat himself right here on the side. He said, "Preacher, went to the doctor 16 years ago. Said they cut me open and said they found a cancerous tumor in there the size of a football. And they wouldn't do nothing with it. They sewed me up and sent me home." He said, "I guess it's still in there. I don't know." "16, 17 years ago." He said, "Just wasn't my time to go. God wasn't ready for me to leave." That's pretty good quality living, ain't it? Huh? When you can sit and pat your little cancer right there on the side and praise God it's been 17 years, that's pretty high class living right there now. I'll tell you. Living in the joy of the possibilities of God in your life, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, rejoicing in the Lord. David had to do so. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Joseph had to live that life. The divine possibilities of God for you. Said, "Wonder what we'll find out there. Let's just go see." The joy, I say to you this matter of real quality living is not only living in the realm of divine possibilities, but secondly, can I say to you, it is a matter of the refusal to die or give up until you're dead. Now, if any boys ever had an excuse just to roll over, these four boys did. They got leprosy. That's an incurable disease. They ain't no food nowhere. They've been pushed outside the city and nobody wants any connection to them. And the only people out there that there's any hope in, as far as this world's concerned, is a bunch of renegade Syrians that has the city in camp, wants to kill everybody. It's death, 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 no matter where they turn. They die. They're going to die. But the truth of the matter is, they're making the best of the situation. And they're refusing to die until they die. What are you mulligrawing? I'm going to have to make an application, I can see. What are you mulligrawing about? What are you worried over? What is it that's got you down? It ain't over till it's over. I like these four boys. They had some life about them. I'll just tell you, I'll be truthful with you. I'd have probably took a chance on the leprosy and to hang around inside that city where everybody said, did you read the newspaper this morning? Did you read the news? Did you turn on the TV? Did you see what happened? Look, did you know what's coming out? Did you hear what about the weather? Did you do it? And everybody just moaning and groaning. Drying it's ever been. They said to themselves, sitting around there, four boys dying of leprosy, they said, let's don't die here. Let's get up and see if we can find something. We're going to get into something. Making the best of a situation. I remember a preacher in North Carolina telling me about a hypochondriac in his church? That's not a monster, it's a person that's always sick. Which can become a monster. And she, sick, I'm always sick. So she'd been to the doctor after doctor, and the doctor said, all right, what we're going to do is take you in. We're just going to do every test under the sun. See if there's anything wrong anywhere. So he said, I went there that day, that morning. I want to find out if there's anything wrong. And said they did every test under the sun, liver, gallbladder, tonsils, it's all the whole works. And he said, I'll never forget, her husband's sitting right there at the bed beside of her, and the doctor come in, and the doctor pretty well knew what was wrong with her. But anyway, he sat down, and he said, ma'am, he said, now, I'm not going to say 100%, and I know I'm not God or anything, but he said, I went through all these tests, and he said, hey, we've done every test on you that could be done on a human body, and we can't find one earthly thing. It looks like you're in great shape. And just kept telling, your blood pressure, you're not a diabetic, and your heart rate, and it don't seem like there's any blockage, and everything seems to be just good. And so the doctor walks out of the room. The preacher said, I'm sitting there, and said, I look at her husband, and her husband looked at him, looked at the preacher, and said, they don't give her no hope, do they? He said, well, but I don't know if he heard the same report I heard, but it looked to me like it was going to be pretty good. But here are these old boys not willing to give up. They're going to squeeze the juice out of the the time that they've got left. They're going to appreciate and enjoy. They're just simply going to live. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching this. Somebody here tonight just needs to quit complaining, groaning, and moaning and start living and appreciating what God's given you and where you're at. Well, certainly things could be a whole lot worse than what they are, and they can be a whole lot better than what they are if you just get up and start living. I've been listening to Brother Lester's tapes. I'm going to be mean. A refusal to die until you die. But just a few thoughts, the last I want to point out to you. This matter of quality living, really living, and your pastor hit on it. Not only living in the realm of divine possibilities, not only making the best of a situation and not dying until you're dead, but it's in the matter of never, as long as you live, forgetting the needs of others. Now, if there's anything that leaps out to me about this text, beyond anything else, is verse number 9. You've got four fellas that's got leprosy. They're going to die. And it may not be long. But yet they have made the best of the situation. They are now enjoying the possibilities of God, and they are literally feasting. They are eating the best food that could be eaten at this time. Got some pretty snazzy clothes on. You see them trying that on, say, how you like that? Huh? You ain't seen a leper dress like that in a while, have you? Huh? Pretty good. Can you see them old boys? I mean, it's real. It's realistic to me. Can you see these old boys? I mean, everybody's starving to death, and they're in them tents with all that chicken and gravy and all that food. And I mean, they just having a party, and everybody else is up there dead. I was still talking about the morning news and how bad it is, and how bad it's going to get. And they're out there having a feast. I've witnessed that in the mountains of North Carolina. Some of the poorest people that you could ever meet feasted in their hearts and lived high in the Spirit on Christ. But you can do that. One, if you'll live in the realm of divine possibilities. Two, if you just won't die until you're dead. And then three, if you will, as long as you live, never forget the needs of others. In verse number 9, they said one to another. They spent a whole lot of time talking to each other. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry some by the morning light, some mischiefs will come upon. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. I don't know. It seemed to me that they'd have a pretty good excuse if they took the attitude and said, bless God, they've thrown us out of the city. We ain't going to go tell them about nothing. Let's just hide all this gold and don't let nobody know about it. And we'll eat all the food we can eat and let the rest of it spoil. But they didn't do that. They said, you know what? There's some folks need some help. And ain't it amazing that four old boys with leprosy fixing to die, how God uses them to minister to a whole city and meet the need of a whole city. Can you imagine? You know, Jesus is talking about the cross. The Bible said he, who for the joy that was set before him, the greatest giver of all givers, when he gave his life for you and I. But he said, who for the joy? Doesn't any mama, when she fixes a feast on a Sunday afternoon to see her children and grandchildren, just plow into that, and it's a joy to her heart to know that she's been able to provide that. We had a doctor in Boone that quit his practice there and went to the mission field, never planning to return. I was talking to a gentleman one day, and he said to me in curiosity, he said, why would a man quit his job, a doctor's position here with all of that money, and go to wherever he went to? I said, one word. He said, what is it? I said, purpose. It gave him a purpose in life, to meet someone else's needs other than his own. And what a joy that it is. What a pleasure, what a thrill to know that you have touched someone else's life. And here they have done so. And can you see these old boys' eye as they're sitting now after all of this has transpired? And they're talking it over. I can see one of them look at the other and say, John, I'll never forget seeing that little girl when she got that biscuit. I never seen such a look in somebody's eye. It just thrilled me to see her eat that. Oh, he said, yeah, but you should have seen that old boy. Did you see that boy when we gave him that sausage, that Syrian sausage? He just gobbled that down. And here the whole city is partaking of it. And these old four boys are back now sitting down. And I'll guarantee you, I don't know how long they're going to live. But as long as they live from that day forward, they'll reminisce and talk about the day that God run off some Syrians, filled their lap, and filled somebody else's lap. Boy, I'd give you something to talk about when you get old. Instead of having to sit around and talk about how it was down on the job and who you liked and didn't like back when you worked and you've been retired 30 years. No more to say about it. I don't want that. Esther's grandpa passed away when he was 96. Had a good mind right up to his death. Good health, really, up right till the day he died. But I loved to be with him as he talked about the hand of God in so many areas of his life. Revivals that he'd preach, and some 60, 70 people get saved, and many of them I was able to meet preaching revivals across the country, and to hear him talk about what the Lord was able to, and instead of just sitting around grumbling and complaining, he was talking about the things of God, and he was still living. The man was living. One of the last things he said to me, took his hand, rubbed it on his heart right there, Brother Lester. He's 96 years old. Always wore a suit. Still, he'd get up. They said when he was pastoring, he'd wear, if he was plowing, he'd plow in a suit. He's always ready for the ministry. And he'd wear that suit. He'd take that hand, he'd rub that chest, and he'd say, young man, 96. He said, young man, I woke up this morning with a text burning on my heart. I said, that's quality living right there. Oh, the joy of the Lord. By taking that which God has blessed you with and just giving your life to somebody else. I promise you, you'll never get bored. That's quality living. It ain't how much money you got. Ain't what kind of car you drive. All that can be misery to you, as James said. I come across a little poem that I like. I want to close out reading that poem. Sort of goes hand in hand with this quality living. It said, and you may have heard it, I dreamed many a dream that never came true. and have seen them vanish at dawn. But enough of my dreams have come true to keep me dreaming on. I've trusted many a friend that failed me and left me to weep alone. But enough of my friends have remained so true to keep me trusting on. I've sown many a seed that fell by the wayside for the birds to feed upon. But I've held enough of God's golden sheaves in my hand to keep me sowing on. I've drained the cup of disappointment and pain, and have gone a many a day without a song. But I've sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to keep me living on. You know, as I cross this country, I find a lot of teenagers that are dead. You can just look in their eyes and tell they're dead. They say the number one killer of them is suicide. Fail to see the possibilities of God in your life. Refusing to take what He has given you and enjoy it. And a failing to see that there's needs around you that are much greater than yours will drain the life out of you. But you can have quality living in Christ, who is our hope.